Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Hello, hello, hello.
That was pretty.
Hi. Thank you. Hi, you guys.
Hi, guys.
I'm Yasmeen.
Hi.
Hi, Josie.
Hi, that's me.
Hi, Alicia.
Hey, I'm Alicia.
Hey, I'm
Alicia. Why did I question myself? Do I know who I am?
What is your name? Where are you right now?
Couldn't tell
you. Concussed, literally.
The Nile River. I'm Alicia Pascual Peña.
And I'm Yasmeen Ahmadi.
And I'm Josanna Toda, and this is Dare We Say.
Dare We Say. Say Yay. We dare.
Wow.
How are you doing, Yas?
I'm not going to lie. Since 2020, since the panorama, the Panda Express, mm-hmm. the
paranormal
Pentagon,
activity.
The paranormal activity, I've been getting high before bed every single night. Like, there has not been one.
Yeah, you have been.
No, like, you guys.
Honestly, like, you could get a medal for that.
No, like, actually.
That's called consistency.
That's called consistency. If there's one thing consistent in my life, it was my bedtime routine.
Addiction. Yeah.
It was.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
We witnessed it firsthand.
Very pleasant, very lovely.
I was very chill when I was high. Like, I feel like I'm very, like, low key. I don't talk as much, which that's when you know, like, oh, Yaz is gone. Like, there
You're
was
not the- lying. You would just come and, like, literally float into my room. Like, yeah. Not walk or, like, run. Just float to then lay.
I just remember, like, there's so many times where, like, I'd be snacking and Josie would, like, come snack with me. And, like, Josie would not be high, but I would be high. And we'd just snack together in silence. And I feel like that was so normal for me. But
love.
I feel like you were like, what the fuck is happening? I just want my Oreos at, like, 1 a.m.
The Oreos.
So I'm 1 week free. Basically, what happened was I lost my pen. And I was
So this wasn't a choice you made?
No, this was literally not a choice. My therapist has been telling me, like, okay, so it's part of your routine. I was like, it's a ritual. She's like, well, I don't know about that. Because, like, I'm, like, so, like, okay, I just want everything to be so eat, pray, love. Like, smoking weed before night is a part of my ritual. When it's like, no, that's not. You're just dependent on a fucking drug. And I am a week free. I've been sleeping fine, but I wake up earlier. I'm dreaming more. Mm. I do feel a little bit more anxious during the day. And, like, at night, I'm like, I don't know what to do. Because usually at, like, 9:30, I would get high. And now I'm, like, 9:30 in bed with I'm like, okay, I don't know what. Usually I get high and, like, laugh on TikTok for an hour. And now I'm not doing that. So I'm like, what do I do with my life?
Yeah. You feel like it's forcing you to be more present?
Yeah, it's forcing me to be more serious. Like, I feel like I haven't laughed as much. Like,
oh, no.
It's grounding you.
Yeah,
I love that. I'm very proud of you. I think that takes a lot because when you get dependent on something or anything, obviously, even if you're not, like, actually addicted to it, if it's, like, habitual, it's difficult to, like, get out of.
Yeah.
So I commend you for that.
Thank you, guys. Agreed. You guys should honestly gift me a weed pen smoking anymore. I'm joking. No, because here's the thing.
No, but how long do you think you're going to go?
I don't know. And that's the great thing about what, like, I'm going through right now is that this wasn't planned.
Yeah.
This wasn't like, okay, every day I'm like 6 days strong, 7 days strong. It's just kind of like, oh, well. Like, I have free will. If I wanted to go get a pen, like, I could go get one right after this recording.
Yeah.
But I just am like, I don't really need to. And I'm feeling like I don't really want to right now. Yeah. So I'm chilling.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you took ownership in that, like, space of your life.
Yeah.
You were just saying, I don't want to engage in using it right now.
Well,
which I think is cool.
And
if you decide to start smoking in a little bit, cool. But it's just,
you know. Well, I needed a tolerance break anyway. So I guess, like, two birds with one stone. So.
I cannot.
Josie, you're wearing a nude top, and I was like,
I'm
okay,
gonna say
she,
when we both looked, we both had the same,
like,
face.
Because oh,
when you
shit.
Raised your arms, it
I
looks
like
you had
tits
no
are
shirt on.
Come to the camera, you look nude.
Yeah, so basically, I'm on just a weekend trip in London, which, for those that don't know, it is an extremely cold place. and I'm like just turtlenecking up, I'm enjoying it a lot. I've been to so many coffee shops. I've shopped so much. I've thrifted so much. One thing that I want to say that's just like a little PSA is I was at a cafe the other day, and it really struck a nerve in me, and something that I think is a societal issue that we have, which is that if you are in a cafe and you see a person sitting down and there are plenty of seats for you to sit down.
Oh, God.
What on God's green earth compels you to sit directly next to the only fucking person that is sitting down? I'm talking like a cafe bar situation where like it's like a bar and you go and sit.
Yeah.
Like, this fucking man came up to me, sat directly next to me. I'm like, are you aware that this isn't 2008, okay? We don't need to sit on each other anymore.
I'm dead.
There's been COVID.
It's a social taboo, but they wanted to be next to you.
No, Alicia, no, I'm no. on Josie's. Not only
did he come next to me,
but it's like
this man came next to me. He was like male fucking Nancy Drew. Please. He pulls out a map of London. And then he's like drawing on it, like he's like trying to find the hidden treasure.
Okay, Nicholas Cage.
And then he has the audacity to cough, not once, multiple times.
Oh, no. Did you do your thing?
I cough, you cough, we all cough. But I kind of did a little zhuzh to like make him uncomfortable.
Josie, Alicia literally said that. She was like,
I do it when Alicia doesn't. No, I cough, okay? But when other people do it, it's just a little uncouth. You know, it's just less
cheek. How dare I do this human behavior of coughing? But anytime anyone coughs, I've just gotten used to it. Josie does this.
No, yeah. They can't see you, babe. She shivers. Oh, she's shivering right now.
Yeah, I forgot.
This is a podcast. This is not a TV show.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Okay, got it. I know where I'm at.
She's shivering. And I do kind of shiver. And I get it. It's flu season. You know, it's London. Okay, so he coughs multiple times. When he sneezes, I'm like, that's it. I'm calling the fucking Uber. I'm fucking out of here. I don't know. I just found that really interesting. Like, in an age where we've been through the pandemic, like, I want less community. I want less closeness. I think we should just respect each other's boundaries and not fucking sit next to each other at a god darn cafe. I was trying to, like, not swear with the word God, but I think it kind of was counterintuitive when I ended it in a negative way. But anyway.
Wait, Josie.
So that's
did you just get
update.
Up and leave?
Yeah.
Did you get up and leave?
I got up and fucking left. I paid that bill and I walked out because I'm not going to stand for this. I'm not going to stand for this.
This is a protest.
What strain does he have?
Yeah.
It is a protest. And I don't know. It's just, it gives me anxiety. Like, I just feel like everyone is ill right now. Like, the other day, my Uber driver was coughing, but he had a mask on. So I just assumed he had COVID. Which, like, I was okay with, you know?
Yeah, because, yeah, yeah.
Like, he can't afford to have a day off, probably. Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
I could, you know? So I kind of just let him rock and enjoyed it. But,
wait,
I mean, these are the things you have to do in a post-COVID world.
Yeah, speaking of let him rock, remember that Little Wayne Kevin Rudolph song, Let It Rock? Anyways, I think that was a good update.
Yeah.
Everything.
Today, yeah. We're going to be talking about something super real and relevant, the relationship between body image and the holidays. If you're getting a bit nervous heading into the events of this season, this one's for you.
Oh, God, this one's for me. Hey, don't forget to follow us at Dare We Say on Instagram and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/darewesay. We'll be right back.
This episode is sponsored by FX Kindred, the original series only on Hulu, based on the celebrated and critically acclaimed novel by Octavia E. Butler. FX Kindred centers on Dana James, a young Black woman and aspiring writer. Dana begins to settle into her new home in Los Angeles and is violently pulled back and forth in time. She emerges at a 19th century plantation, a place intimately linked with Dana and her family. The clock is ticking as Dana struggles to confront secrets that she never knew ran through her blood. FX Kindred, all episodes now streaming only on Hulu.
Before we get into it, we just want to start by saying we want to give a lovely little trigger warning. We're going to be speaking very candidly about body image and the way people comment on diet, weight, and eating. And obviously, we know this conversation is not one for everyone to hear just on a casual day. And that's okay. No worries. Please, you know, put yourself first, know your limits, and you can skip to a later part of the episode if this might be uncomfortable for you.
I just want to preface this by saying Josie's not an expert, Alicia's not an expert, and I most certainly am not an expert in diet culture, in eating disorders and weight loss and societal pressures. But these are just our own experiences and our personal stories that we want to talk about and share with you. Whether you relate to it, whether you know someone who relates to it, whether you have no fucking clue, this one's for you. I'm not going to lie to you. My eye has been twitching since I woke up this morning. I've been really nervous about this conversation because the holidays are a very stressful time, specifically with my relationship with my body, the relationship with how people view me, the relationship with how I view myself. Like just last night, I was showering and I made sure to steam my whole room, and I turned off the lights so I wouldn't have to look at myself in the mirror while I put moisturizer on. And I'm not trying to say this is like, oh, poor me. No, I mean, it's awful, but it's also the truth. And I'm not trying to be like, feel bad for me, because it is what it is. But I didn't want to look at myself because I feel like when the days get shorter, when I'm not like as sun-kissed, when like it's cold outside, so I don't want to go to the gym, when I want to eat comfort food, I want to have mac and cheese because I don't fucking feel like cooking.
Yeah.
My body gets less toned. My body gets lighter, and it's hard to look at myself. And I just feel like, have you guys felt like that too? What is your relationship with your body during the holiday season specifically?
Well, I'm very proud of you for sharing that.
Oh, and thank you.
I'm really sorry that has been, that I love you so much. And I'm sorry that you've had that experience, and that I love you, and I just fucking love you.
I love you. No, and like, this is,
and I'm proud of you for saying that, because I know you're not alone, and I know that's not a unique experience.
Yeah.
It's because obviously I think we all can kind of relate to having body issues, no matter what size we are. Obviously, with privilege comes with that.
Correct.
You know, is involved in that. Yeah. You know, like, for instance, I'm a smaller person, but I definitely have always struggled, especially since like my transition, even more so then with my body image, my relationship to my body than before, because it wasn't really a thing that society had kind of placed on me until I stepped into my truth and who I am.
Yeah.
And I totally agree with you. I think this time can be really, really difficult and super triggering. And I was really grateful growing up with a mom who, like, we didn't have any mirrors in our house. I think we had one mirror in our house when I was like 14. And I didn't even think about that until like recently. And honestly, I thought that was like pretty cool, because I never put any like emphasis on how I looked physically.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I got into high school, and it was like that episode of Mean Girls where like all the girls would be in one room and they would look at each other in the mirror and be like, oh, my calves are too big, or oh, my stomach, or this pudge, that even started to become something in my own head.
Yeah.
Especially because I've always been told that I was underweight growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wary when like being participatory in these conversations, because I think that even when I hear stories of girls who like are like, oh my God, I was underweight, like I was bullied for being underweight, it's like, it's hard for me to have sympathy, even though I know that's awful that anyone faced any type of bullying, because like their bullying had to do with something that was a privilege, you know? It's like, I was bullied for being too pale kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I definitely think anyone can relate to struggling with that. And I certainly did. And honestly, even just recently, like I had the flu, and like not being able to literally eat food because it made me sick, like I had the stomach flu, started triggering like that old way of thinking, of like thinking that food is bad, and then reintroduce food back into my life, even just these past few weeks. And obviously being on camera every day and having to wear like, I mean, the show that I'm on right now, we're wearing corsets.
Yep.
And literally, if we eat more, we are uncomfortable and do a worse job at our jobs. So like, I think it's in everything. And I think I come from a very privileged standpoint, having being a smaller person and all of that. But I think it's everywhere. I think it's in all the media. I think it's, and no matter what your lifestyle is, I don't think it cares, rich, poor, you know, doctor or student, like you're going to struggle with your body image because of society.
100%. Thank you for, I think we could touch on media and society later on in the conversation. But Josie, thank you so much for sharing that experience with us. And you're beautiful and I love you. And although, sure, as you said, it's a privilege because you are a smaller person, that doesn't take away the feeling that it gives you. That doesn't take away the gravity that it holds. So just acknowledge that and I love you.
I think, interestingly enough, growing up, because weight and body image was always a topic of conversation at home, being a Latina and being a Black woman, we were always talking about body image. Like, I very much was raised with the idea that the world is your runway. And, like, you always want to look good and stuff. And there are even Spanish words that don't even exist in English to refer to a woman's body. Like, for example, the word cuerpazo. I've heard that word since I was a young girl, which now I understand the gravity of how problematic that was. And when a person says, like, if you don't speak Spanish, when a person says, like, pero mira qué cuerpazo, means like, but look what body she has. Like, cuerpazo specifically, that one word encompasses a lot. It means like the way in which a woman's body's sitting.
Wow.
That's what that one word means. Like, you know, like wow, like it's, and it's a compliment. But as I was 13, 14, 15, 16, now I understand that that left implications that I didn't understand in the moment, because it gave people the liberty, or what I thought was normal at the time, to just speak and have agency over my body, even when I didn't want to talk about it. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
So, but I think because of that, I rebelled against a lot of like body image things really aggressively. And I'm grateful for that part of my story, because I feel like being Black and being Latina, people always wanted to talk about my body, whether it was like, oh, you're too big because I was curvy, or now, oh, you're slim, thick, or whatever it may be. And even just, unfortunately, things that are very embedded in my culture as a Dominican. Like, even now on TikTok right now, which is crazy because I'm literally just having this revelation in the moment. There's this, like, whole TikTok trend where, like, girls are, like, holding a Dominican flag and being like, I'm sorry. And it's because, like, they weren't born with a natural BBL that, like, supposedly all Dominicans are supposed to have.
Oh, my God.
It's actually a trend right now, which is insane to say. But all of that goes to say, I think because of that, I rebelled and I was like, I want to be in sweats. I want to be in big shirts. I dressed as, I don't like this term, but quote unquote tomboy. Like, for a lot of, like, my high school years. But now, as an adult, I've had to think about my body in ways I never really cared about because of what I do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I don't know. Like, I don't know. I hope this is all making sense.
Because no, it is.
I grew up being a model, which I've talked about.
Yeah, you are a child model, which is, there's so much pressure in that, because you have to be, you have a standard at such a young age. And I also feel like when you say cuerpazo, is that the?
Yeah, good job.
I feel like it's also like at a young age, you are conditioned and also like, I feel like almost sexualized at such a young child.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just, now, whether I like it or not, because I feel like by being an actress or being a model, I think about my body in ways I didn't think about them in the past. Even though I've always been, like, I've always been, unfortunately, have to be hyper aware of my body. Like, even when I was younger and, like, they didn't know what height I was going to be, right? And I was going from child modeling, trying to transition to adult modeling. Like, I will never forget sitting in an agency room in New York in this cramped office getting my measurements done, you know, with shorts and a bra in front of an entire room, and them doing my measurements and being like, oh, you're going to be a plus size model even if you reach the height.
See, yeah.
You know what I mean?
This is not an easy conversation. And I think, like, we wanted to have this specifically during the holidays too, because you brought up something very important, and that's family. And that's also like with the media, like Josie, you brought up the media and like society, like diet culture, the new year, you better lose that weight. Mm-hmm. Like whether that's on a commercial, like you have like Jenny Craig, I lost 30 pounds here, which also, by the way, when I was 15, I used to eat Jenny Craig for lunch every day.
That's awful.
That is insane.
That is insane. And this has nothing to do with my parents, because my parents are my best friends, my biggest supporters, my biggest, like cheerleaders in my life. But also, when you grow up in an Arab household, Josie, I feel like maybe you can relate to this too. And also Alicia too, in like a POC household, appearance is everything, specifically during the holiday times, because that's when you're seeing the whole family. Yeah. That's when you're seeing the distant cousin that you haven't seen in a year. And you have to make sure, oh, do you have a boyfriend? Do you have a girlfriend now? Obviously not a girlfriend because you're not gay. But like, that's not what my family says. But like, I feel like you have to show that, oh, your hair grew longer, more feminine. Yeah. You are still tan, even though you haven't seen the sun in a year.
Yeah. And I don't think we talk about it enough. Like, I think there's so many reasons that people have mixed emotions about the holidays. But that is one. It's like the carelessness that we have when it comes to speaking about people's bodies and where they're at in life when you don't see the full picture. It's so easy for us as families to sit at a table and feel an entitlement. Like in a jurisdiction.
That's have an opinion on someone and their weight. Like I remember like even just like this Thanksgiving, my own grandmother wore like 3 spandexes if she was gonna see some people that she didn't see before. Grandmother, 3 like spandex under what's that? Spanx to tighten her up. My mother got up at 6 a.m. to get ready so she looks good. I remember like stressing. I was sweating. I was like, I'm seeing all these people that I haven't seen before. And like, I need to make sure that I'm like my tip top. I'm wearing heels. I'm showing off. Like, I'm making sure that like I was dieting beforehand. Wouldn't like that's unhealthy. And then also the comments I get, and I'm sure you guys, you look so good. You look so skinny. Mm-hmm. You look so good. What's your secret? How often do you work out? You look skinny.
Mm-hmm. It's like almost like it's a rite of passage with dinner. It's like just as biscuits and gravy have become the norm at Thanksgiving and Christmas trees are the center of Christmas, commenting on one's body is like
100%.
Yeah. A family tradition.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can't even count the amount of times my mom has looked at me and other friends of mine that are smaller and have been like, you look like you need a sandwich. Like every time I see you, I just want to feed you a sandwich. And like, I don't think people, and obviously my family members who've said this, I think have learned because I don't think they understand the impact of what they're saying and how what you're saying may sound like a compliment to you can actually come off as not only an offensive remark, but can be extremely triggering.
That's the
like,
part.
Commenting on anyone's body and saying, you look so beautiful, you're so small, could be reaffirming an eating disorder, which is like obviously counterintuitive to what any family member would want to do to someone. And I can't even remember the last time that a comment like that hasn't been said to me. And which is just so weird. Because obviously family loves each other, but I think it happens all the time. Yeah. And I think we just want to empower you guys as well as ourselves to like weaponize ourselves like how we can deal with these things and go about them in a way that like isn't going to cause like family World War III.
Yeah.
Because I mean, if you know me or an Arab dinner can easily go that way really quickly.
It's constantly walking on eggshells. Like, if they say to you, like, you look so skinny, and you're like, that's triggering. They'll be like, well, that's your own fucking fault and your own fucking trauma, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, never mind. I don't know why I said anything.
Yeah. I've definitely...
I've
definitely been met with, what's a trigger? Like
yeah, wait. Guys, like, what's a trigger?
I have family members being like, that's not a real thing. We talk to each other. But, you know, it's very much like what you guys are saying. It's unfortunate because I think, like, it's indoctrination. Like, we have to talk about it with family members because they're ignorant to understanding the gravity of the comments that, like, we make to each other about people's bodies have. Like, you know, I pray to God she's comfortable with me discussing this. But, you know, I think it's important. Like, so my mom specifically, like, she had cancer and she has no thyroid. So what that means in very short terms is she has no hormones regulating or she has no gland in her body regulating her hormones.
Yeah.
Right? And it makes me so sad to think that some of the last words that family members of ours have said to her before they've passed were things about her body. Because at family gatherings, it's like what you do, right? Like, you know, and it sounds like this is similar in your households and POC households. I think just households over the holidays is to say like, you look so great. Or like, are you not doing anything to keep the weight off? When like people don't ever take into consideration how difficult that is for my mom and how she does eat clean and how she does work out. But like,
yeah,
there are medical conditions,
yeah.
You know, like there are medical conditions that hinder her ability to get fit like other people. Right. So I think like something that Josie said that I very much agree with. How do we start like, you know, normalizing holding people accountable in our family? And it can be in a loving way, but how do we say like, hey, can you not talk to my kids about their body? Or, hey, if you want to compliment somebody here at the dinner table today, can we make it about something that has nothing to do with aesthetics?
Or turn it around on them and be like, well, if you want to talk about weight, why don't we talk about yours?
Like, no, that's the funny you said that, Josie, because like my, it's so funny, like my mom and dad and I, and like, this is funny, like, they're all comfortable with me saying this, but like we went out to dinner and I was like, we were ordering drinks. My mom was like, I'll have a Negroni. And I'm like, okay, I'm out. It's Spagliato Prosecco in it, which is also like a double entendre. But my dad was like, could I get a Coke, please? Easy on the ice. And then I was like, oh, could I also get a Coke, please? But with extra ice. And my dad looks at me, and this is like literally in October. And he goes, are you sure you don't want a Diet Coke? And I look at him and I said, are you sure you don't want a fucking Diet Coke? I didn't say fucking, but he was like, that's fair. Do you know what?
Yeah.
That's fair. And I was like, good. And I think it's like, but that also takes courage. And that's a privilege to be able to like kind of like give it back, which is also like in the Arab world, you never talk back to your parents. And like also there's just respect, but also you're going to put me down. I'm going to say, well, okay, then you're coming down with me. Like you're going
to
come down.
Well, I think there's ways to do it in ways that will not cause a catastrophic bomb at the dinner table.
And that's not an Arab
joke. And I say that as someone who was caused many a bomb. And I think that we should totally normalize being like, actually, that wasn't an appropriate comment.
Yeah.
And can we discuss something else? Or why is my weight so important to you? I think is okay to say. I think there are ways to do it. And I think even sometimes isolating yourself from the situation,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and stepping
Protect
out for a
peace.
Second, like, I think it's okay. I think you deserve that. But how do you guys talk to yourselves during this time? Like when you feel like that little voice inside your head is making you look at yourself differently or compare yourself subconsciously to other people, how do you guys like wrangle with those emotions and sort of talk yourself off a ledge?
I'm not going to lie. Getting a little emotional. For me, I think the thing that holds me grounded is that, and I talked to my sister Katerina beforehand with this conversation, because we had like a very deep conversation prior to Thanksgiving this year, and she's just recovered from a variety of eating disorders, and we just had to sit in each other in the bathroom and like hold each other's hand and say like what we're looking at in the mirror, that's our body dysmorphia, that's literally a mental illness, whether it's conditioned or it's a part of our chemistry, we fucking have it. And it doesn't matter. We can't feel shame with eating. And we have to tell each other that. Mm-hmm. And it's insane to like look at my little sister and I have to ask her, is it okay if I eat this biscuit? I literally had to ask my little sister this year, I'm not going to gain weight, right? And then she said to me, but why does it matter if you gain weight? And also, what the fuck is a biscuit going to do? And then later on, she has a Coke and she's like, Yasmin, like, tell me, like, I didn't get bigger after drinking this Coke, right? No, you didn't. And it's having someone constantly there. And it's a privilege to have someone there in your corner, in your family. It is a privilege. And I'm grateful that I have my little sister. But if you can find that person or in within yourself and say what you're hearing externally or what your brain is telling you is a fucking lie. Mm-hmm. It's a leech. And society will tell you you're too big. Society will tell you you're too small. Society will tell you you're too tall, too short. No matter what, you're fucked. So do what you want to make you happy in that moment. Mm-hmm. And if someone puts you down, like Josie said, really, my bathroom was my safe space with my little sister.
Yeah.
So I think removing yourself. Okay, sorry for getting emotional.
Don't apologize.
Don't be sorry.
At all. We're really proud
of you. But like, this is all to the little girls, little boys, little individuals who feel like no matter what they do, they're too big, too small. You're enough. That's the bottom line. is that you're enough and that you're beautiful. And no, if no matter what you do, you're going to be damned in someone's eyes so they can go fuck themselves, quite frankly, mm-hmm. in the kindest of terms.
They can.
Yeah.
I also think normalizing that Christmas food, Hanukkah food, you know, Kwanzaa food, Ramadan, like no holiday food is bad for you. There is no such thing as holiday food being unhealthy or bad for you. Like food is food. Mm-hmm. And food is also fuel.
Yeah.
And like, we should destigmatize like our fear with like eating too much or, you know, eating the wrong food or the bad food, because it's virtually impossible for you to ruin your entire BMI, your entire body capacity and structure in one evening or a few evenings or a couple weeks of eating one way.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to break you down. It's not going to turn you into a completely different person, bigger or smaller. It's just food.
Yeah.
And we should normalize eating it and lessen like this fear, because I think this type of food has been villainized in our eyes as something that like we should be afraid of, or we should not go for seconds or thirds for, that we shouldn't even touch.
I think it's also really important to note that like, our bodies are so uniquely different.
Yeah.
No person's body is like another person's. You know, like, for example, like me with my lupus, me with my RA, whatever it may be, like what I need and what's going to nourish me is going to look different. I may need more protein. Like, what's your blood type and stuff? I just feel like, you know, I never want to be the word police. I never want to like be like, oh, we need to be more PC. But I think that there is a way that we need to have a radical sense of compassion when we're having conversations about like food with people that we just haven't been taught to have as a society, as a community. I don't think you personally, or at least I'm going to speak for myself. I don't want to speak for other people. I personally will never look at somebody and go, oh, you look so skinny. Or, oh, you look so great.
How many times have I asked you, do I look skinny?
And
how many times have I asked
you? And how
do
I look at you? I'm like, you look great. You're beautiful. Like, it's, you know, to answer the question from before, like, how do you speak to yourself? Because we all deal with insecurities. There are times where I feel like I'm a little bit bigger than other actresses, or, you know, I do have curves. I have a low panza, as we say in Spanish. But I've learned to center myself when I think feelings like that get overwhelming and go, my body is my temple and I thank you for serving me each day. Thank you, whatever you believe in. It doesn't have to be God, but thank you, Lord, for allowing me the ability to move my legs today, to move my arms, to go get coffee with my friend, like, and go at the end of the day. And in my opinion, this is a sack of meat. This is an avatar.
Not the avatar.
Like
this,
like my soul and my spirit is in here.
Here is Zoe Saldana.
Yeah.
Exactly. Thank you so much. Please book me to play your daughter in Avatar 25. Pero, like when it all gets super overwhelming, because body image is a real thing. Let's not sit here and gaslight people. Like, it's a real thing. We all have our insecurities. It's hard. You know, people talk about body image in ways they shouldn't. But for me, that's what's really helpful, is for me to go, my spirit and my soul.
And we do that as friends.
Yeah.
I feel like we've had that conversation as friends. Like, when we talk about, like, moving forward, like, I remember distinctly a conversation that Alicia and I had with two of our amazing friends, Allie and Noelle, when we were in, I don't know where we were. I think we were in Santa Barbara and we were at a winery. And we all made the conscious decision. We were like, let's all vow to never compliment each other in the form of skinny or thick or when it comes to our bodies again. We were like, let's change our vocabulary and change our compliments, because I think you can speak up to your family. You can tell them no. You could kind of say something bad and get in a fight. But you can start with your own world.
I agree.
And assessing with your friend groups, like, how do we all speak to each other? And how do we all look at each other? Instead of like, oh my God, you look so skinny in that dress. Like, that dress looks beautiful on you. Mm. Like, it's little things like that that actually genuinely do make a difference. And it just changes our vernacular. And in our vernacular, we'll change our actions and how we subconsciously view ourselves.
100%.
I agree.
And I think going forward, I think this was a perfect place to end of when you listen to this episode, say five things that you're grateful for about yourself and truly mean it. look in the mirror and say, thank you, stomach, for protecting my intestines and my guts. Thank you. No, no, it's true. Like little shit like that. Like, thank
no,
you.
No, but you're right.
No, like, thank you, eyes.
I agree.
Also, and you could be lying to yourself. I lie to myself every day, but it's better to say it than not say it at all.
Yeah.
We're all on the road. It's all the climb. And
I love Miley Cyrus' song. We love you all. We love you.
Hi, y'all. Come on in for another cafecito. Listen, if you are ride or dying for your man, you probably gonna die. So let's just talk about it. I don't think that we discuss enough the chokehold that this false narrative of being a ride or die girl has on women. Like, why are we taught this false narrative that we need to stick beside a man regardless of what they do? Because men definitely don't have that sentiment towards us. Like, we grow up listening to music and watching movies that feed us this falsehood that loving a man is mutually exclusive with having to endure a ridiculous amount of pain and obstacles. And I'm over it. Look, it's different from deciding that you want to grow and overcome adversity with someone versus allowing for someone to cheat you any which way and you staying. So I encourage you to kill that little ride or die girl that you have built up for yourself in your brain. Listen, it is not unloyal or fake to set boundaries and have standards. That's a great thing. And it's important to know that you need to leave when your energy isn't being reciprocated and you're not being cherished. But most importantly, love and cherish yourself enough to know that you deserve to be in spaces where you're empowered and celebrated. Your love don't need to be tested. This ain't no game. Okay, bye. You can leave now.
I'm have a do you have a sweet tooth or a savory tooth?
I love breakfast at any time.
Every tooth.
Yeah, I have every tooth. You know me.
Everyone knows though. I have a sweet tooth. Even in my worst days, where I always have dessert.
Yeah, I have dessert. Alicia is a brunch girl.
That is one thing about me that is true.
Oh my gosh, that is a thing that Josie and I like violently disagree on. It's probably one of the only things that we feel that oppositioned about is brunch.
Okay, so next day, can you brunch, I guess?
She thinks it's the worst thing ever. I went to brunch with her at Beauty in Essex. It was...
I don't think there's any reason to do brunch.
See? I would have paid to, like, see her reactions.
So next day, can you guys...
It's like, just sleep in and go to lunch.
I will be the judge, and we'll have an ick and yum on brunch. Thank you for listening.
But guys, thank you for listening. Please love yourself. Be kind to yourself during this time. Nourish yourself. We love you. Happy holidays, y'all.
Dare We Say is a Crooked Media production.
Caroline Reston is our showrunner, producer, and mommy. And Ari Schwartz is our producer and show daddy. Fiona Pastana is our associate producer. And Sandy Girard is the almighty executive producer.
It's hosted and produced by me, Josie Toda.
And me, Yasmin Hamadi.
And me, Alicia Pascual Peña. Our engineer and editor is Jordan Cantor. And Brian Vasquez is our theme music composer. Our video producers are Mac DeGroot, Narm Melkonian, and Dylan Villanueva, and Mia Kelman.
Lastly, thank you to Jordan Silver, Gabriella Leverette, Jesse McLean, Caroline Haywood, Shayna Hortzman, Daisy Cruz, Danielle Jensen, and Awa Okaladi for marketing the show and making us look so damn good.